It is what it is.
So we're here on Daf Yud Beis Hamad Aleph, yeah? We're learning, if you recall, the sugya of how to resolve the discrepancy between the two witnesses. I will sit there. And what happens is that according to Rabbi Meir, you can have a discrepancy of, let's say, an hour, maybe even 2 hours, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe even 3 hours. I mean, this all depends upon Abaye and his interpretation of the Machlokas, Rava and his interpretation of the Machlokas. You know, we're going to have to go through this again and try to, try to figure out, how much room there is, what we call the margin of error, you know, between the two witnesses. And for that, we're going to have Rabbi Meir, we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll see. Now, on Daf Yud Beis Hamad Aleph, what you want to look at is the Gemara towards the bottom. It says, Ula Rabbi Yehuda. Do you see that? It's the second line up from the bottom. And he says the following. Ula Rabbi Yehuda, Yavina Levilahu Mitchilas Shoah Horishona V'ad Sof Hashishis. Okay, so what does this mean? What this means is we have what's called Eidus Shatiyochel Azimo. Let's review that, right? Every Eidus has to be subject, has to lend itself to Azoma, which means that the second pair of Eidus, the Mazima, can come in and say, Imano Yisim, you couldn't have been there at that time to have seen the crime because you were with us elsewhere. And now the question is, can they say Imano Yisim, and then the Eidus will come back and they'll say, well, we made a mistake of a few hours. You know, we were a little bit off.
Did they go into the other shear in the morning? Is that happening today?
See, sure, every day.
Oh, okay. Because
we'll start later after davening.
Whenever they finish there. Oh,
okay, because coming in the middle of a Gemara, I'm not going to do too well.
Okay.
We've got to get out of here. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay then.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure. So that the Eidim Azimim have to cover a certain span of hours, because otherwise each Eid will be able to say, well, I was mistaken by X number of hours. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you know, because you have this large discrepancy, it's a big margin of error, therefore we're going to have to assume that the Eidim HaMazim are going to have to say, Yimono Yisim, you're with us for an entire span of time. So how much of a span of time is that? And the answer is, says the Gemara, from Shah Rishona Ad Sof Hashishis, from the first hour of the day until the sixth hour of the day. Now, the first hour of the day means, you know, after the night terminates, and now we go into the day. Okay. So that's called Mitchila Shah Rishona V'ad Sof Hashishis. Okay. Now, let's go through the two witnesses, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, one witness said it happened at the third hour, and the other witness said it happened at the fifth hour, right? So now what we're allowing here is from the first hour to the sixth hour. Those are the hours that the Mazimim have to cover. They have to say Yimono Yisim from the first hour of the daybreak until the sixth hour. Okay, let's see how that works out. If we're talking about the person who said that it happened at the third hour, so he might say that I made a mistake, and therefore we have to go back to the first hour. Now, the difference between the third hour and the first hour is only 2 hours. Where, if you recall, Rabbi Yehuda might even allow for a discrepancy of 3 hours, right? So that's what we have to figure out. Why are we cutting out one of the hours? And on the other end, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to cut it off at the sixth hour. Now, that makes sense as far as the fellow who said it happened at the third hour. So if we give another 3 hours, because he can make a mistake of 3 hours, we've covered those 3 hours. But how are you covering the fellow who said that happened at the fifth hour? Because if he can make a mistake of 3 hours, then but just adding 1 hour, that's not enough. He can still defend himself and say, well, you know why I was with you at that place? Because the actual murder took place 2 hours later, because we allow for a mistake of up to 3 hours. So the Gemara explains, Bidinu d'nesiv lahu meikart feh. Actually, if we add 3 hours of mistake of an error, so we should go back earlier than the first hour. Because if you go back to the first hour, then you're only covering 2 hours. Let's give him an option of going back 3 hours. But the answer is, there's no way that the witness could say, well, I made a mistake of 3 hours in this case, going backwards, because that would bring him into nightfall. And a person doesn't make a mistake between day and night. And here we're turning to Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Ella bein yamavel leila lo toinshi. There's no possibility. There's no margin of error to make a mistake between day and night. So therefore, the earliest hour that we can go back to, because again, he's claiming it happened in the third hour. That's during the day, right? Let's say at 9 a.m. There's no way that we can go back to nightfall, which would mean going back before the first hour, because the first hour is the transition between night and day, or shall we say, right, between night and day. Ubedin denesiv lekametve. And let's take the person who said that it was in the fifth hour, correct? Now, he could also make a mistake of 3 hours. So if you add the 3 hours to the fifth hour, you end up with the eighth hour. So why do you only give him up to the sixth hour? Does the Edom only have to cover the first hour until the sixth hour? Why is that? And the answer is, Ella Shebachamesh, at the fifth hour, the sun is Bitzad Mizrach. It's on the eastern side of the horizon. Bisheva, if we go past the sixth hour, then we're already afternoon, and at that point, the Chama is Bitzad Marav. It's dipping towards the west. So, Ein B'nei Adam Toim, you know, that kind of mistake people would not make. They clearly would know the difference between the sun on the eastern side and the sun on the western side. Now, in the sixth hour itself, which is the hour between 11 and 12, there the sun is more or less in the middle of the sky. It hasn't yet tipped towards the west, but it's not on the east. And that's a margin of error. So even though he said the fifth hour, we're going to give him the possibility of saying, well, I made a mistake, it was really the sixth hour. But the seventh hour, that's already clear to everyone that the sun is moving towards the west. So that margin of error, we're not going to allow him. Later on, the Gemara is going to take up the possibility that it was a cloudy day and he couldn't see the sun at all. Okay, but we're not ready for that yet. Now the good news is, Rabosai, now we're going back to our Mishnah of Chametz. You know, for about 2 days now, we've been learning Masechet Sanhedrin and trying to figure out how you could either disqualify or maybe qualify two witnesses who are testifying in a murder case. But what about Masechet Pesach, right, after all, we're learning about Chametz? So if you recall, the Mishnah says the following. Tanan, our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chametz, which means that the Torah prohibits chametz from the beginning of the seventh hour. We're going to give him 1 hour of margin of error. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ochlin Kol Arba, we're going to tell him to stop eating at the end of the fourth hour. That means we're going to give him the fifth and sixth hour for a margin of error. V'tolin Kol Chamesh, okay, that means that we're not going to impose an Isur Hanah during the fifth hour, but an Isur Achila is imposed. Now, the very fact that the Rabbanan are imposing an Isur Achila as early as 10 a.m., meaning from 10 to 11 in the morning, which we call the fifth hour, that itself indicates that a person might make a mistake of up to 2 hours, but not beyond 2 hours. Now, what the Gemara is going to say, as we'll soon see, is that this doesn't work out neither according to Abaye's interpretation of Rabbi Meir Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, nor according to Rava. Because Abaye, if you recall, doesn't allow for much of a mistake at all. maybe a mashu in certain cases. And Rava says we're going to allow for a mistake of 2 and 3 hours. So if there's a possibility of a mistake of 3 hours, then in Chometz we should go back much earlier. So we're going to have to work this all out. That's what this sugya is all about. Now finally, v'sarfim b'tchila sheish, at what point does Chometz emerge as a full-fledged Chometz, meaning with an Isra Hanoah? That's at the beginning of the 6th hour. So as far as Hanoah is concerned, and we discussed this the other day at great length, we're not going to go through it again, they made a harchaka of 1 hour. And they said, for the last hour before midday, you're not allowed to benefit from it. You have to burn it. But as far as Achil is concerned, which is a much more severe Isur, they made Archok of 2 hours, and already at the beginning of the 5th hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're enjoined from eating Chametz. So all that is the Rabbana. Oh, says the Gemara, I don't understand. Let's go through all the possibilities. Le Abaye, Alib Rabbi Meir. Right, let's go through the first lishon of Abaye. Right, remember we had 2 versions of Abaye, so let's go through it step by step. So according to the first version of Abaye, the Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, when you have 2 witnesses that are contradicting one to the other, is the Omar, Rabbi Meir's opinion is, Ein Adam Toev Lo Klum. So the fellow who said the 2nd hour, he meant the end of the 2nd hour. And the fellow who said the 3rd hour meant the beginning of the 3rd hour. And they both meant the same exact second of time. And there's no margin of error whatsoever. So that's not good news for us. Because if so, Nechel Kula Sheish, the entire 6th hour, meaning from 11 o'clock in the morning until 12 noon, they should be allowed to eat chametz. There's no room for any error. If there's no margin of error, why are you worried about the fact that he might eat chametz afternoon? That doesn't make any sense. Ulahach lishnanami, and even if we go according to the second version of Abaye, the Omar Abaye interprets Rabbi Meir saying the Omar Adam Toa b'mashahu, right? Because now we're not sure if it happened, if the murder took place at the end of the 2nd hour, the beginning of the 3rd hour. So each aid is suspect of being off by 1 mashahu. Is nechalat sofshis? Okay, we're not going to say that he could eat chametz for the entire 6th hour. We're going to ask him to stop maybe a minute before the clock strikes noon. So that's a problem. Now the Gemara says, well, let's ask another question. How does Abaye interpret Rabbi Yehuda? So Abaye alibed Rabbi Yehuda, right, in the first lishna, Abaye says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Adam toeh b'chatzi shah. The maximum amount of a mistake a person can make is a 30 minutes. So remember, one aide said it was the 3rd hour, and the other said it was the 5th hour. The one who said it was the 3rd hour meant the end of the 3rd hour. The one who meant the 5th hour said the 5th hour, he meant the beginning of the 5th hour. And the murder took place right in the middle, right between, you know, at 3:30, meaning halfway between the end of the 3rd hour and the beginning of the 5th hour. So there's only a margin of error of a 30 minutes. Is therefore Nechel and Pal Gedeshitz. Why don't we allow him to eat chametz until 11:30? You know, just give him that 30 minute buffer zone, and that should have been sufficient. Ulahach lishna nami. And if we go according to the second lishna of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Abaye, the Amid Adam Toa Shav Vimashahu, that we're going to assume that a person can make a mistake up to an hour. Okay. Is Nechel at Sof Chamesh? Then we should allow him, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to eat until the end of the 5th hour. Rabbi Yehuda says that at the beginning of the 5th hour he's not allowed to eat. Well, why not allow him till the end of the 5th hour, which will give him that complete 1 hour plus a mashu of error? That would be enough of a buffer zone. Omar Abaye. And here's where Abaye breaks new ground. And he says this very premise, this equation between Chametz and Eidus, is not valid. Now, when I say breaks the ground, what I mean to say is that this is a turning point in the whole sugya. I mean, until now, we've been asking one question and one question only. How much of a margin of error should we allow for? How much could a person make a mistake? Is it 1 hour? 2 hours? Is it 2 hours minus a mashu? Is it 1 hour plus a mashu? Is it no? And we've assumed that we can apply that both to Eidus, to reconcile 2 witnesses, and to Chametz as far as the mistake between midday and before. But now Bai throws in a whole new variable into the equation. And he says the following, Edim, or Edus Misuril is reason. Okay, the description of Edim is reason. Let's see if we can figure out, just on a simple level, what Abai has in mind here by Zrizim. Do you remember back on Daf Dalet, in a different context, we had the concept of Zrizus. We spoke about Avraham Avinu going out early in the morning to the Akedah. We spoke about Bris Milah, that as soon as the daybreak, you implement the Milah. That's called Zrizim Akdivim Lemitzvus. So the word Zrizus is being used in a more general kind of sense. You can have a more specific meaning of Zrizus, in which Zrizus means, I think in English it's called alacrity, meaning when I want to do something urgently at the earliest possible time. But Zrizus in a more general sense means someone who's very meticulous. He is so devoted to his goal that he's not going to leave any leaf unturned. And what does that mean in the case of Eid? We've said over and over again that there are seven chakiros, and these interrogations have to clarify exactly at what time the witnesses saw, according to their claim, the murder. Now, when the Edim have already decided, again, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, so hang in there, at the time that they witnessed the crime, they've already made the decision, okay, that's the Sugya Makis, which we'll get to in a second, that they want to come into Beis Din and testify. And they know that they're going to be subject, they're going to be put over the, right, what's it called, over the coals, and we're going to investigate them. You know, you can't just come into Beis Din and say, well, you know, sometime during the day this murder took place. I mean, the whole essence of Eidus is to subject yourself, or at least to open yourself, expose yourself to the possibility of hazama, which means that the time becomes a critical element. So the Gemara employs the word zrizus here. What does zrizus mean? That when the Edim come into court, they already have prepared the answers to the questions. Not just coming in, you know, and thinking, when did it happen? Oh, was it this time of the day? Was it that time of the day? No. They were very meticulous, very careful about noting the hour, because their job and their responsibility was to testify. Now, in order to appreciate this, we have to break up with Edus, testimony, into two parts. There's Re'ia, okay, and then there's Hagada. Now, Re'ia means seeing the crime, or whatever the event was, is a very critical point in testimony. For example, the Gemara says in Makis on Daf Vav that at the Shas Re'ia, at the moment that they saw the crime, and they have intention already to testify, they have to know about each other. They've already formed a brotherhood, so to speak, a partnership, from the moment that they saw the crime. The witnessing itself is part of the testimony. It's not just a backdrop. It's not just an introduction. I'll give you another example. The Gemara wants to know what happens if three people saw the crime and they all intended to testify. And Yehuda's going to shut off his thing over his mute, his thing, right? So he now you have three witnesses. Now you might say, well, what happens if one of those three witnesses is what's called posuliatus? Right? He's invalid. He's not worthy to testify. Now, with regard to testimony, we have a principle that I would describe it this way. One bad apple spoils the bunch, which is called, in the Lashon of the Mishnah, in Makis, it's called Nimtza Echad Mehem Karav Apostle Kula Psulim. See, you really could salvage the testimony with two witnesses, but if a third witness comes to testify, and he happens to be apostle, then his disqualification somehow contaminates the whole group of Aden. Now, what happens if he never comes into court? So the Gemara vacillates about this point. The Gemara actually thinks that if he's posuliatus and he saw the testimony, he saw the event, then he automatically is a negative factor, because he torpedoes the whole kind of Aden. And this is all based on the premise that Re'iyas Ha'elus is an integral part of Haggadah. So there's one opinion that says, you know what? Re'iyah itself is not necessarily part of Eidus. But then the Gemara vacillates, yes, it is part of Eidus, and so forth and so on. According to one possibility, it's all Haggadah. Everything depends on who comes into Beis Din to testify. So let's go back to the moment of Re'iyah. And here the Gemara says that Eidus Mesural is reason. What does that mean, Eidus Mesural is reason? That the witnesses are reason. They're meticulous. They're very careful. Today you would say they noted it on their clock. Then they didn't have clocks, so they'd have to look out at the sun or whatever they did to determine what the hour was. However, when the Torah addresses Klal Yisrael and establishes a time period for the Iser Chametz, everybody's included. Not every person who has to, you know, destroy his chametz is such a zariz that he knows exactly and he's meticulous what time is it. So we have to allow for a greater margin of error, says Abai, with regard to chametz when we are looking at the entire Klal Yisrael and we have to decide how to enact the gzera that maybe there will be an error. And looking at the rank and file citizen, there's going to be a serious margin of error. For example, there might be a 2-hour margin of error, an hour margin of error, a half hour, all the different variables and possibilities. So let's read the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, Omar Abaye, Eidus Mesural is reason. In other words, a person is not going to testify. And imagine if we're talking about a capital crime, your capital punishment, you know, he's testifying in a murder, unless he made it his business, anticipating all the interrogations of Beis Din, to know exactly what time it happened. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says that there's not going to be any error at all. Or if there is an error, says Rabbi Meir, it's only a mashu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to one version, there's a margin of error of a half hour, or maybe an hour plus a little mashu. But chametz, lakol masur. You know, when we're addressing the issue of chametz, we're talking to the entire Klal Yisrael. And your average Stam Ben Adam is not a baki. He doesn't know. He's not so careful. Rabbi Meir says he might make an hour's mistake. And therefore we have to prohibit chametz from the beginning of the sixth hour, giving him that 1-hour buffer. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that he might make even a 2-hour mistake. And therefore the Chacham say you're not allowed to eat chametz from the beginning of the fifth hour, which means 2 hours before the time, because of this allotment of a margin of error of 2 hours. So it turns out that chametz becomes the rule and Eidus becomes the exception to the rule. Eidus is an exceptional case because since the Eidim understand the weight and the serious nature of their testimony, which they're already preparing at the time that they saw, they already note the hour, and therefore when they come in to testify, they're already prepared to answer the question of the interrogation. We're going to allow for either no margin of error at all, or a very minimal margin of error. But that's the exceptional case of Eidus, which is Mesural is reason. But as far as your common case, and you ask me, if I would tap a person on the shoulder and ask him what time it is, you know, not in the context of Eidus, but just, you know, we would do one of those, those interviews, you know, where you stop a person on the street. What do they call it? What was that famous program, you know, where they would...
Candid camera.
Oh, yeah, excellent. So we'll do a candid camera, right? And we'll ask somebody, tap him on the shoulders and say to him, what time is it? He'll be off. He'll be off by an hour, according to Mary. He might be off by 2 hours, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And chametz, therefore, is a reflection of Stam B'nei Adam, of all of mankind. Oh. Now what the Gemara is going to do, it's going to go through the same exact analysis that we just did according to Abaye, according to Rava. Yeah, David.
Any Stam person in Klal Yisrael could be an aide at any time. This person has to be ready to snap into action to be an aide when called upon. So any Stam person also knows it's
that I don't know. I'm not sure. I think once you see something's going on and you know it's relevant to the courts, then at that point you have to you know, you have to jack it up a little bit. But I wouldn't say that, you know, just walking down the street, I got to assume there's going to be a murder taking place, and I, you know, make sure I see exactly where the sun is, you know.
No, but a person could be called upon to be an aide at any moment. Then he has to go into action and do what you just described, to be so meticulous. But the average person also knows it's Pesach, it's Chametz time, and he knows it's a very serious thing we're engaging in now. So wouldn't he also...
Okay, but look, you know, it's not a matter of life and death. Well, you know, it's not that the whole court system is going to depend upon his testimony. What do you say, Michael?
It's Kores. Oh, no, here it's not, is it? It's
no, this is Erev Pesach. Yeah, Erev Pesach, not Kores.
Okay.
And again, you're talking to all of Klal Yisrael now. You know, so, you know, to say that every single Jew is exactly, you know, Erev Pesach is a rough day.
Yeah.
The Gemara later on is going to talk about all the things that have to be achieved on Erev Pesach, and the Gemara says it could be that you're not allowed to engage in Malach on Erev Pesach, because if you do, you'll be distracted from all your, you know, Erev Pesach responsibilities. There's a greater margin of error. Again, you know, we're not talking about a major margin of error. You know, keep in mind that you don't have a watch on your hand.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a margin of error of an hour, of 2 hours, you know, within a morning. Yeah. It's very shy, especially when you're talking about the entire population of Klalis. So again, now we're going through Rava. Until now, we've been studying Abai. Ula Rava. Let's go according to Rava. So let's go according to Rabbi. How did Rava understand Rabbi Meir? The Omer Adam Toeh, Shteishos Chaser Mashu. Now, in Rava's frame of reference, we're going to go in the opposite direction, meaning we're going to wonder why Rabbi Meir limits the Iser Chametz on Erev Pesach to 1 hour. In other words, the Harchaka was only a 1 hour Harchaka. A siag, a fence of 1 hour. Well, wait a minute. Rava's interpretation of Rabbi Meir recognizes the possibility of an error of 2 hours. So, if that be the case, then we should tell them to stop eating chametz from the beginning of the fifth hour. Now, if you remember, Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah says that the Iser chametz begins at the beginning of the sixth hour. I mean, there's only a 1 hour margin of error. There should be a 2 hour margin of error. Oh, so the answer is the following. Do you remember I said to you 5 minutes ago, let's just review it, that during the hour between 11 and 12, which is called the sixth hour, the sun is more or less in the middle of the sky. Again, it could be that the sun is at a corner where it's a little bit towards the east and it's not yet tilted towards the west. That I grant you. But now, if you're going to talk about the fifth hour, not the sixth hour, which means 2 hours before noon, there the sun is much more clearly in the east. Now, let me explain. The case of Edus that Rabbi Meir addressed was the case where one person said the second hour and the other aide said the third hour. Do you remember that? And we were wondering, is that just coincidental? You know, the Gemara wants to say that according to Rabbi Meir there's such a margin of error or whatever have you. According to Rabbi, there's that margin of error that could be 2 hours. Because this fellow may have meant the beginning of the second hour and he meant the end of the third hour, right? So Rava says that we're talking about a discrepancy in the early hours of the morning, correct? So we're talking, let's say the second hour would be, if the Netzach Hama would be at 7 o'clock in the morning, so we're talking about 8. That's the second hour. And the other 8 says the end of the third hour, so that's already 9:30, quarter to 10, you know, that kind of thing. So that discrepancy is when the sun is all the way in the east. But once you get to the fifth hour and the sixth hour, now already there's a remarkable difference in the position of the sun between the fifth hour, that's at 10 a.m., and midday, which again, if we stretch it to include the entire sixth hour, because as I said before, in the sixth hour, the sun is more or less in the middle of the sky, that gives you room for an error. So he says the following. You're asking me, why Rabbi Meir puts the cutoff point at the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning he only pushes chametz back 1 hour, when logically, if he's consistent with his statement in Eidus, according to Rava, he should have pushed back the Issur chametz to the fifth hour. The answer is, chamesh, in the fifth hour, chama b'mizrach. In other words, there's an obvious position of the sun in the east during the fifth hour. When does it become questionable? When we get to the sixth hour. Correct? So to make a mistake from the fifth hour to what the Torah says is also chametz at the seventh hour, the beginning of the seventh hour, is that's considered Sheva Chama B'Tzad Marav. And again, what we're doing is we're comparing the position of the sun from the fifth hour to 2 hours later, the seventh hour. And that difference between the position of the sun in the fifth hour and the seventh hour is very obvious. Why? Because in the fifth hour the sun is strikingly on the east and it turns towards the west at the seventh hour. Already the sixth hour is the, you know, what we call the Beit HaShemesh, that's the twilight zone. It's a little bit confusing. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Because what I told you before, that the sixth hour, you know, the sun is still, you know, although it's still in the east, but it looks like the west, you know, the Gemara doesn't know that yet. I mean, I already spilled the beans. So then the Gemara goes, Ihachi b'shis nami nechel. If you're telling me that the position of the sun is so obviously different when you hit the seventh hour, which is when the Torah prohibits chametz, because at that point the sun tilts towards the west, then the sixth hour itself should be clearly and markedly different than the seventh hour. Why do you worry about an error of 1 hour? Om Rav Ad Barava Shis, during the sixth hour, Yoma Bikarnasa Koi. The sun is at a Keren Zovis, meaning it's at a certain angle. And that angle is an angle where there's an overlap between the west and the east. So in other words, as we said before, although the sun is on the one end, it tilts a little bit towards the east, but it also tilts a little bit towards the west. And it's very difficult to discern the difference between the sixth hour and the beginning of the seventh hour. So that's Rabbi Meir. Urava libid Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that chametz is also from the beginning of what? Of the fifth hour. No, so we're going to give him a 2 hour. Now wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda coined to Rav in the case of Eidus, Omar to Adam Torah, Shalosh Shalos Chosem Mashu. Correct? He had a discrepancy. One Eid testified on the third hour. The second Eid testified on the fifth hour. The Eid that testified on the third hour meant the beginning of the third hour. The Eid that testified on the fifth hour meant the end of the fifth hour. So now you have the third hour, the fourth hour, and almost all of the fifth hour until the last Mashu. So you're talking about a mistake or a discrepancy of 3 hours plus minus a mashahu, is then chametz should be also mitchilas arba lo necho. We should stop eating chametz at the beginning of the fourth hour. Right now, the beginning of the fourth hour is a full hour earlier than what Rabbi Yehuda formulates in our Mishnah. So we're going to have the beginning of the fourth hour, that's the whole fourth hour, the fifth hour, and the sixth hour, until we get to the beginning of the seventh hour. So we're going to have a full 3 hours of Issur Chametz, because there might be a mistake of 3 hours. Oh, says the Gemara, no. Chamesh, Chama b'Mizrach, and Visheva, but at the seventh hour, Chama b'Marav, Kolshkein Arba. In other words, it works like this. Rabbi Yehuda in Eidus is willing to set up a discrepancy from the beginning of the third hour to the end of the fifth hour, which is almost a full 3 hours. And that's in order to protect the Eidim against Hazama. In other words, that maybe the Eidim made that mistake of up to 3 hours. It's just a little bit less than 3 hours. Oh, but now we get to the case of chametz, and we're going to say the following: that in the case of chametz, to stretch it for 3 hours and say that there's going to be a margin of error of a full 3 hours, meaning already in the fourth hour, right? The fourth hour is 9 a.m. You know, he's going to confuse 9 a.m. with noon, as we're already past the beginning of the seventh hour, but he thinks it's 9 a.m. And it's a full 3 hours earlier, that much of a mistake he won't make. Why? Because Chamesh Chama b'Mizrach v'Sheva Chama b'Marav v'Kol Shekein Arba. Now, the Gemara is not so happy with this. Why? Because the Gemara says Ihachi b'Chamesh Nami Nechol. Now, we said according to Abaye, in the logic of Abaye, that there's no reason to prohibit Chamesh in the fifth hour, because the fifth hour, clearly, the sun tilts towards the east. It's located position in the east. How would you make a mistake between that and the seventh hour? Okay then, right? So let's go back again just for a minute to review what we said according to Abaye. That we had a kasha according to Abaye. That Abaye was of the opinion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there could be a mistake of what? What was the second Lishna? Just 1 second. The second Lishna, 1 second. Felish the Rishona, Rabbi Yehuda had a mistake of a half hour, correct? And according to the second version of Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda, there was a mistake of an hour plus. So the Gemara wanted to say, what about the fifth hour? So Abaye says that the fifth hour is clearly the east, and therefore it doesn't lend itself to an error. So that's what we said before. But now, when you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're gonna go back and we're gonna say that Chametz, he can make a mistake from the fifth to the seventh hour. How can he make such a mistake from the fifth to the seventh hour? I mean, the fifth hour, the sun is in the east. The seventh, it's in the west. So Tirgum Abaye Aliba de Rava. So Abaye now tries to defend his good buddy Rava and answer the same answer that he gave to this question. Why is it that in Chametz we're going to go back to the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and allow for a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour? And the answer is Eidus Mesura Lezrizim V'Chametz LaKol Maser. Again, the same principle that in the case of Chametz, you know, you're dealing with the entire population, and there is some, shall we say, minority member, you know, representation of the population that would make a mistake of 2 hours. But Rava himself offered a different answer. So, you know, like, thank you, Abaye, but I can stand this on my own. I can give you my own answer. Rava Omar, Lav Hainu Taimed Rabbi Yehuda. Now, here, Abosai, we're again at a critical turning point in the sugya. Until now, we've assumed that when the Chachamim told us to stop eating chametz earlier than the Torah said at 12 noon, the Chacham said earlier, that's all based on a margin of error. And the whole theory was, how much of an error would we have? And in that context, you know, you wonder, would a person actually make an error of 2 hours between the fifth hour and the seventh hour? And Abaye was willing to say, you know, Chametz is like cold muscle, and then there's always going to be someone out there who will somehow not pay attention to the fact that the sun has already moved towards the west, and he identifies it as the fifth hour, so there could be a 2 hour mistake. But Rava says no. The logic of the question is better than Abaye's answer. The question is, how would he make a mistake between, you know, the sun being in the east and the sun being in the west, or tilting towards the west? Says Rava, there's a whole different consideration here, and a whole different reason why the Chachamim told us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't eat chametz during the fifth hour. I just want to ask you, Rabosai, I have a psychological principle that applies to me, as Chatayri Maskir here. I want to know if anyone could identify with this. When you tell me that chametz is about to become awesome, I just start eating whatever I can. You know, does anybody have that experience? No? You know, it's like some people lose weight because of the fast. I seem to gain weight because I eat so much more before the fast than after the fast. That, you know, fast doesn't do it for me. It's not a good method of dieting for me. But you tell me that chametz is going to be awesome, you know, and I'm going around, you know, give me that last, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I hate throwing away food, you know. Even though my parents did not go through the Holocaust, but still I have that same mentality, you know, we don't throw food away, you know. Does anybody here remember the yahrzeit candles of the old days? You remember they used to sell yahrzeit candles in glass. So what did you do after the yahrzeit? You cleaned out the glasses and you reused them, right?
They still have
them. They still do it? You know, the wax in the glass?
They still have the glasses,
yeah. Yeah, okay. So I don't know if people still clean. We used to have a whole thing. And in those days, by the way, they were very makeable. They said you could use glass for both milchus and fleishiks. You know, that was in Yena Titan, you know, in those days. Amalekah Titan in those days. Anyway, I'm sure Yehuda's going to look this up on Google and send me a link. Anyway, but that's what it was in my day. I mean, we didn't waste anything. You know, we didn't throw anything away, right? But anyway, you know, chametz, it's very difficult to burn chametz. You know, so you have some really good chametz, so we just didn't get around to eat it. So we eat the chametz mamash up to the last minute. That's what I think the Gemara is going to talk about now. Lav hainu time with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's not worried about a mistake. The fifth hour is clearly distinguishable from the seventh hour. El Rav Yehuda l'tameh, he's reflecting his shita. What is his shita? The Omar, this is the beginning of the second parak. Ein bir chametz el estreifa. The Torah says tashbisu, and the question is how do we interpret the word tashbisu? So Rav Yehuda has a very particular shita and a very particular requirement of tashbisu. His interpretation of tashbisu is sreifa. You've got to light the flame and burn the chametz. It's got to go up in smoke. Now, if a person is going to be involved in eating chametz, the way I described it before, then, you know what? He's not going to properly prepare for the mitzvah of burning chametz. Burning chametz doesn't mean just, you know, take out a match and burn the chametz. You got to go out there, you got to collect the wood, you got to set up the campfire, you got to wait till the fire takes and it goes up. So Rabbi Yehuda wanted to guarantee that we're not dedicating those hours to the eating of chametz, and rather we're dedicating those hours to the mitzvah of tashbisu. The Yavu LaRabbanan, the Rabbanan gave the person Shah Achas, an extra hour. Again, the margin of error is only between the sixth hour and the seventh hour, but the fifth hour, Kidei Lilkod Ba Eitzim. Again, the Gemara is using a phrase here of collecting wood, but it could be anything that's necessary in the step-by-step process that will culminate with Sreifas Chametz. And therefore, you know what? Stop eating chametz. And the truth is that once you stop eating chametz, there's not much else you can eat. I mean, they'll give you some hard-boiled eggs or whatever it is, but, you know, some lettuce, but there's not that much you can eat. So now's a good time. You ate up all your chametz. You know, you knew that the last hour was 10 a.m. in the morning, the beginning of the fifth hour. Now go out there and dedicate yourself to sreifas chametz. And this really throws a whole new variable into the equation. We've been working so hard overtime to figure out how much of an error you can make when you look up at the sky and you think, well, maybe I'm off by time, maybe I'm, this is seven, you know, this is earlier than the seventh hour, and so forth and so on. Now we're introducing a new element to the equation, that 1 hour from the fifth to the sixth is a buffer zone to force a person to get out there and prepare for bir chametz. Eis ve ravina l'rava, I don't understand. We know, this is based on a braisa which is quoted later on in the second perek, that Rabbi Yehuda does not necessarily require sreifa. It really divides into two. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, emasai, when do we require sreifa? That's called shelo b'shas bi'uro. That means that when you haven't yet reached the time of bir chametz, which is the sixth hour. So in the sixth hour, you are an hour before the Torah requires you to be mavar the chametz. And now you want to get rid of the chametz an hour before the shas biuro, then Rabbi Yehuda says you need sreifa, you have to burn it. Avol bishas biuro. When we get to the seventh hour, when the Torah says that chametz is asur, then hashbisaso bechol davar. Then the mitzvah of tashbisu takes on any form that you like. It's not limited to sreifa. In other words, you can take the chametz, you could break it down into smaller pieces. That's called mefarer, and you can throw it to the wind. Or you could throw it into the river. If you happen to live in a neighborhood where there's water, throw it into the water.
But not into the dustbin.
I didn't hear what you said, I'm sorry.
Not into the dustbin.
Okay, that's a good question. Yeah, we'll have to ask about the tzardeya that we once mentioned here. Oh, so let's understand Ravina's kasha. Why do we have to prohibit chametz during the fifth hour? And we're going to send him out to the woods to cut down the wood for the campfire. All he has to do is wait until the seventh hour, and then at that point he doesn't need sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have an absolute requirement that under all circumstances you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of tishbisu unless you have sreifa. He says no. If you wait it out and you get to the seventh hour, then you don't need sreifa. It's mafar v'zor l'ruach or mashlichas l'yam. You could do any other method. So now you're pressing him towards sreifa, and therefore you're giving him an extra hour of isur chametz, so he'll be totally focused and dedicated towards preparing for the burning of chametz. That's not necessarily so. Why don't we just tell him, wait until the seventh hour? Because from the seventh hour, the Torah allows you to destroy the chametz in any way, shape, or form. Now, exactly what is the lumdus here? What underlies this distinction between Kodem Shas Biuro and Shas Biuro? Why is it that Kodem Shas Biuro, Rabbi Yehuda requires Sreifa and only Sreifa, and after Shas Biuro, he allows you to destroy the chametz in any way, shape, or form? Let's just say it in a very simple way, you know, a kind of balabatish, you know, without getting into great lumdus. And the answer is that once we get to Shas Isuro, the Torah can't tolerate chametz. The Torah says that tashbisu means you're not allowed to hold on to your chametz. Just get rid of it. And the Torah is not going to be careful and meticulous about what method you use to get rid of it. Before the Shas Isuro, now we're in a luxury zone. You know, now you can take your time. You know, now it's not Shas Isuro. And here the Torah says you have to do a very radical kind of burning in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. Okay. Now you could add another element to the equation that once you get to the Shas Isur, when the clock strikes 12 noon, you're not allowed to eat the chametz. Now we don't want to tolerate chametz when you're not allowed to eat the chametz because we're always afraid you might come to eat it. So, you know, we're not going to tell you go out there and collect wood and set up a campfire and, you know, it's going to take you an hour until you could burn your chametz. Here it's urgent because you might come to eat the chametz. It's already after Shas Isur. So now, once again, we're back to the drawing board. We're back to understand the answer. How does Rava justify the extra hour? Well, we can't justify it because of the position of the sun, because the position of the sun in the fifth hour is so radically different in terms of the east as opposed to the seventh hour in the west that he can't make that mistake. We cannot justify it by saying, well, we've got to give him time to go out there and take care of his trees and cut down his logs for the fire because he doesn't need fire. He just waits to the seventh hour and then he doesn't have to burn the chametz. Just get rid of it in any way. So now Rav has to introduce another element. We've always been assuming that it's a clear day. And you go out in the 14th of Nisan and you see where the sun is. Says Rav, well, there's another element here in the equation. Gzeira mishum yom hama'unan. What about on a cloudy day? Now once you get to a cloudy day, you don't even see the sun. The sun is hidden behind the clouds. Now we have to expand the margin of error, and it's very possible that on this kind of a cloudy day, he might make a mistake of 2 hours from the Shah Hamishis to the Shah Shvias. So the Gemara says, if it's a cloudy day, maybe we should add a third hour. And especially if, according to Rava, we saw in Eidus that there could be a discrepancy of as much as 3 hours minus a mashahu. So it means that you know, there is that margin of error, right? Again, the answer might be, well, where's the position of the sun? But that's not a good answer, because according to Rava, we have to worry about a cloudy day. Amar Rav Papa, Revius Zman Seudo Lakolhi. On a daily basis, people eat their breakfast at the Shah Revius, right? You know, that's the time to eat breakfast. And everybody knows that. I don't know if he means the stomach starts growling and tells you what time it is, or just mitoch hergel. He says in the footnote, he says that you can apply this logic as far as chametz is concerned, but not as far as edus is concerned. Now, what's the difference between edus and chametz? You know, Rabbi Yehuda allows for a discrepancy in edus of 3 hours, which takes me back to the fourth hour. And therefore the edus zon mazimim will have to say you were with us during the fourth hour. Well, what happened to my growling stomach, because every day I eat breakfast at that time? So you should know exactly what time it is. Yeah, the answer is that we're not going to compare edus to chametz. Okay, now this is Tosis Dibur Maskil Arba, which is all the way at the bottom of the page. He says, Lo shayach haitaima elo linyan achila, avol inyan edus lo. In other words, when a person is trying to figure out exactly what time the murder takes place, then for some reason he might not be aware of the fact that it's a Zman Sa'ud, and therefore it's... in other words, let me put it to you this way. In other words, just 1 second. Wait, I thought I understood this Tosis, but maybe it needs a little bit more... Just 1 second. We're talking about Tosus Divri Maskil Arba. Let me just see if he comments anything here. Lo shayach haitaima d'shar revius yizman achila l'inyan achila k'gon hocha l'inyan achilas chomets. The kevin shubo lechol margish bi'atzmo. Ah, because we're telling him not to eat chomets. Right? So if we tell him don't eat chametz at the fourth hour, he's already coming to eat chametz. It must be he's hungry. Not the way I told you before. But anyway, he's hungry. And therefore his hunger pains are going to dictate to him that this is the following hour. So there's not going to be a margin of error. Avalinyan edus lo. Because a person might be so obsessed, you know, he's so what's the word? He's the opposite of concentration. He's so
distracted.
Distracted. Excellent. That's the word I need. He's so distracted that he might not even feel that he's hungry. So when it comes to achilas chametz, we assume that he'll realize, "Hey, I want to eat chametz. I must be hungry," and he'll know that this is way, way before noon because he's got to eat his breakfast. But when it comes to edus, he might be so distracted, he's thinking about a million things, then he might not realize that this is breakfast time. I just want to see, as a footnote here on the bottom, I was wondering if that adds anything. He says, Amailo nema hocha, gamli in achilo, the bishar revius hu taru. Why don't we say even as far as chametz, because maybe he got distracted, he was... We call it phenomenon in Yiddish. You know, he was so obsessed with something that he didn't even feel his hunger pains. Below Hirgishu Roiv. Achin is Panami Asakam until he becomes free. So he quotes another source over here. Nirisharotza Lafari Shabiruka. Tibemis Mashal Gabi Eidus Lominian Shumavkin Alidea Ra'ab. Shum Sharavias Eina Kavana Shu Tarud. Now somehow the stomach is not communicating to the brain. It's sending the right neuropath. He says, alright, it's a little bit of an embellishment of that point. Okay, now when do we eat breakfast? Tana Rabban. Shah Rishona, you know, after daybreak, that's early in the morning. is Machal Ludim. There's a nation that's called Ludim. We don't want to know too much about them because they were cannibals, okay? And they were just, they would eat anything, even a human being, right? So they used to start with a, you know, kick off the day where they got up for Vasikin to eat, you know, and say, not to daven. Shnia, the second hour, is Machal Listim. You know, the Listim, the robbers, they're on the run. They're also very hungry. You know, they have a lot of work to do during the day. And therefore, it could be that they're up late at night. You know, these are night birds because they're out, you know, stealing things at night, breaking into people's houses. So they sleep a little bit later in the morning, but they're very hungry. So they get up at the second hour to eat. So that's their breakfast time. Shlishis, Machal Yorshim. Now, the word Yorshim literally means heirs, right? H-E-I-R-S. And let's assume that they inherit a lot of money in this case. That's what the word Yorshim means in this context. So they didn't work too much because they're independently wealthy. And therefore, you know what? They can eat. They don't have to eat too early, but they eat at a more or less, you know, a normal time, which is Shah Shlishis. Who's going to eat b'shar revius? Machal polim. In other words, the workers will eat a little bit later on, and chamishis is machal talmidei chachamim. Now, this I don't understand. We'll have to see if we can figure this out. But the Gemara is telling us that talmidei chachamim eat a little later. Maybe because, you know, they after they daven, they want to learn and chaperite a few hours of learning, and the food is going to distract them or maybe make them tired. Shishis, once we get to the sixth hour, that's already like 9 a.m., is Machal Kol Adam. That's when your average person...
The sixth hour can't be 9 a.m. That must be midday. Since when do all people eat breakfast at midday?
Oh, so maybe we're not... So maybe I made a mistake here? Did I make a mistake? Just one second. Let's see the next line of the Gemara. Sometimes, you know, if you stop prematurely, you get confused. Ella says the Gemara, Epoch. What does that mean, Epoch? Let's rewrite the Brisa and change the Seder, you know, the sequence in the Brisa. It should say the following. Shah Revius, Machal Kol Adam. So that's 9 a.m. Chamishis, 10 a.m. is Machal Polim. I guess there are... You know, maybe they're working early in the morning. I don't know. They take a break for breakfast. Shishis machol talmidei chachamim. So again, the Gemara.
I've read.
Yeah, thanks. Didn't come yet, but it's coming. So again, in the original formulation, Rav Papa had said that revius is man suda lakol. 9 a.m. is when most people eat. That's when they eat breakfast, and therefore at that hour they're not going to confuse it with Shashvias, because they realize that's the 9 o'clock daily breakfast. So the Gemara asked, well, what are we going to do with this price? So this price says that Shashishis is Machal Bon Adam. So the Gemara says, Epoch. Well, we're going to have to switch it around. And in the new formulation of the price, it's going to be Revius Michael Kol Adam.
Can I interject something?
Yeah.
I think in those days, they only ate one big meal. And maybe they took a little bit before they went to bed, like supper. So the question is, when are they eating the big meal? First thing when they get up in the morning? Or, you know.
Or maybe in the middle of the morning at 9 o'clock.
It's not like today we eat 3 to 5 meals a day. You know,
Right. Now the Gemara adds sort of like an ethical comment about the biological nature of man. This really doesn't have much to do with that sugya, but the Gemara says the following. Mikan v'elech, right? The latest time to eat breakfast is 11 a.m. for the Talmidei Chachamim. Again, we're trying to figure out why the Talmidei Chachamim eat at 11 a.m. Does anybody have an art scroll?
Yeah.
Does the art scroll say maybe in the footnote why the Talmidei Chachamim eat so late?
They're busy with their studies. Oh. Therefore, they should wait to the last possible time to eat.
So I would add a little bit. When it means they're busy with their studies, they don't want to distract themselves with breakfast. And moreover, especially when you eat a gesunte breakfast, and like you said before, Don, they're only eating 2 meals a day, so it's going to be a pretty heavy meal. It's like, I don't know if you've eaten breakfast in a hotel here in Israel. Like, you eat breakfast here in Israel in a hotel, a decent hotel, forget it. You're lucky if you're hungry by dinner. I mean, they give you everything. And it's hard to resist. There's so many great choices. You know, forget about the cheeses. I mean, just look at the pastries and the Danishes they offer. I mean, it's just the breads. I mean, did you ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling. You're not even a five-star hotel. I've been in other countries. I don't remember. Well, maybe because I didn't look at the bacon and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But you know,
it's a compensation for the chazer that they have to make it be so appealing that it compensates that you're not in Europe.
You know? Right. No, that you're not in Europe.
It's an Israeli thing.
Yeah. I really think it's an Israeli thing. It's an Israeli breakfast. I've eaten in many countries. I don't know. The Israelis take the... So the Chatan v'Chatan, they don't want to eat that breakfast. You know, that breakfast is going to completely derail them from their learning. Does the footnote explain why the Polim are eating at 10 a.m.? Why the work is eating so late at 10 a.m.? Because the Masifta doesn't add anything. Yeah, it's kind of
the orders of the employees, and they must demand their meal an hour more than other people.
Ah, because their employers are demanding more work,
right,
or something.
Demands on them. Yeah.
I guess, you know, I guess it's not like today. At least in America, I know the average workday starts at around 9 a.m. But I think back in the day, maybe they started earlier.
Sunrise.
Yeah, like in a kibbutz. You know, they start even before sunrise. So the Gemara makes a comment here based on this braisa that we just had. Mikan v'elech, from the Shah Shishis, that's the latest time for breakfast, that's the Talmid Chacham eating at 11, is that's not a good time to eat. Why? It's kizorek even lechemas. You have a kind of a sack, some sort of a, how do you say in English, a sack, a bag, I don't know, you know, like a pocketbook kind of thing. I don't mean literally a pocketbook, but and it's made out of animal skin. And if you throw a stone into it, then that's not a good thing. You know, a sock that's made of skin should be treated with a certain, you know, with a certain sensitivity, a certain edelkeit. You know, you don't throw a stone in. And he says that this is a mashal for the person who throws food into his body at that hour. It's not going to really be meaningful. He should eat a good breakfast. Have you ever heard this famous statement in the Gemara that Pas Shachris is one of the important elements? Have you heard that? The Chazal are very big on eating breakfast. You know, some people like to skip breakfast, but Chazal don't see it that way. Omar Abai Lo Amoran If he didn't eat anything at all, and he really has an empty belly, and he's going with that hunger all the way till past 11 a.m., that's not healthy for the body. Once he tasted something in the morning, so he's not fasting, then even if he eats his breakfast at a late hour, even after the beginning of the sixth hour, that's okay. Now, at this point, I mean, we're going to have to end in a few minutes, but let me give you an introduction to the next sugya. This is the sugya of of Rav Ashi. Until now, we had the sugya of Abaye and Rava, and now we're up to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is going to tell us that in the context of Edus, we have a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the margin of error that we allow. And we're going to apply the exact same standard to chametz. That's called machlokas be'edus, kach machlokas be'chametz. Now it's just like in edus, the margin of error, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is larger, is a bigger stretch than the margin of error for Rabbi Meir. The same thing is going to apply to chametz. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to be worried about a margin of error of 2 hours, and Rabbi Meir is going to only be worried about 1 hour. And this, says Rav Ashi, is going to determine the shitos, respectively, of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as far as chametz is concerned. So B'li Neder will pick this up tomorrow. Okay, then? Wish everyone a great day.